Begin the card top, Masechet Zavodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Beis. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with an incident relating to one halachas of a Mishnah, which we spoke about, that is, a kinyan only happens, as we spoke about in the previous stuff, when there is a pisuk dam, when there's a set amount of money that was agreed upon as the price, then either party is confident, especially the buyer, to go ahead with it, because he knows, okay, I know how much he's charging. I can't make a kinyan, he's then going to say, he's charging me 3 times the price. So relating to that halacha, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Hahu gav v'dam le'lechabit, a certain person who told his friend, im mizamnina lo l'ha'ara, if I'm going to sell this piece of land, loch mizamnina lo, I'm going to sell it to you. And not only that, he actually made a kinyan. He made an acquisition on that. He took a kerchief and he made a kinyan. He says, it's sold. If I'm selling it, it's sold to you. Azal zavne le'nishacharina, he went and he sold it to someone else. Some of you, Rabbi says, kana kama. Rabbi Yosef said, the first guy made an acquisition. He was kind, he can't sell it to someone else. And that Abaye said, but v'holoi pasak. But with the first guy, he didn't set a price with him. And therefore, he was not reliant on that acquisition because he thinks, wait a second, if the seller wants to back out, he'll just jack up the price. So even though they made a kinyan, that's not a valid kinyan. And says Abaye, u'menot temerdu chalecha d'le pasak lekon. And from where do you know that whenever you don't make a set price, that even if an act of kinyan, an acquisition was done, it's not valid? It's not, like we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, amoicha yeinu la'ivu kecham, someone sells his wine to a non-Jew. So if pasak atchele madat, if he set a price before it was measured into the vessel of the non-Jew, so dam of mutarin, so then the money that the Jew's going to get from the sale to the non-Jew is going to be permitted, because it became yayin nesach only after the non-Jew already acquired it. When the Jew is selling it to him, which is the money that's owed to him, which is what he's getting later, was kosher wine, because the set price was done, and the moment it went into his vessels, he did meshicha before he even touched it. Mamadad actually pasak, but let's say it was measured into the vessel of the non-Jew before there was a price that was said. So even though, let's say, he would have done a kinyan like Mashicha, it doesn't make a difference. He won't acquire it, and thus when the non-Jew touches it, makes the Yayin Nesach before he pays the Jew, it's going to make it into Yayin Nesach in the domain of the Jew. So Dama Masurin. So the money is going to be forbidden. So obviously we see that he will not acquire it with the Mashicha. Why? Because he did not set a price before then. And therefore you see that also in our case, where there's a kinyan that was done, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to help. So says the Gemara, so what was the conclusion of this Machlekes Rav Yosef and Abaye? To which the Gemara retorts back, my Havala, what was with it? Could they mean like you just said? I mean, the two words of my Havala, the first one's a question, the other one's like a wonderment. What do you mean? You just proved that Abaye brought a proof from our Mishnah that although he did a kinyan with the first guy, that wasn't valid because he didn't set a price. And that says the Gemara, no, the reason why we're still wondering about what the halacha is, because Dilma, maybe from our Mishnah, you cannot resolve to like the case that the Gemara is bringing over here for a generic kinyan. Because over here in our Mishnah, churma de yayin nesach shani, maybe because of the stringencies that apply to yayin nesach is different, that there the rabbis were more stringent to say that he's not going to acquire the non-Jew with Mashicha without a set price, thus making the money that's being paid to the Jew forbidden as Yayin Nesach money. But maybe generally we would say that it would be a kinyan even without a piece of dam. So it's no riot from Mishnah. Maybe that Mishnah would be more stringent and say that it will be Asur as Yayin Nesach because it will not be a kinyan without a piece of dam. But maybe generally if a kinyan is done, it is valid, like Rav Yosef said. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, let's bring a different riot to Abaye. Dam Rav Idi Bar Oven, he said that Uvda Hava Bei Rav Chizda, there was such an incident in the house of Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda Bei Rav Huna, Rav Chizda went to the house of Rav Huna. Upashtim Hoditnan, and they resolved it, the same question from the following Bryce. The Bryce talks about if someone was bringing his donkey drivers who were carrying produce on them, and they had workers that were carrying on their shoulders the produce. And says the Bryce of Mashach, if then his friend who wants to buy from him goes and does Mashicha, draws near Chamar of Upayalov, the donkey drivers and the workers of the seller, Vechnisan Lotech Beis, and he brings them into his house. So now the Bryce is telling us that that's not considered Mashicha. Because Mashicha drawing near, although that, let's say, works by an animal or by produce, that doesn't work by people. And as long as the produce is on top of the people and he's doing Mashicha on them, he's not going to acquire the produce. And says the Bryce, Bein pasig, whether if even he sets a price after that, but atchaloi madad. In other words, but he never yet did a measuring, meaning he never put down the produce onto the floor into the receptacles of the buyer. So then, although we're showing that pisuk setting a price is integral, but there's no meshicha because he only did on the person. And moreover, the house of the buyer cannot be kaina, although it's in his domain, because it's still on the worker's shoulders. It's not in his house, it's on them. So therefore that's not going to work. So to ubein madad, or whether if, let's say, he did measure into the receptacles of the buyer, so now essentially the chatzar, the courtyard, the house of the buyer would acquire, but actually pasak. But however, he didn't yet set a price. So as long as the price wasn't set, and this is the main proof that the Gemara wants to bring for Abaya, so then the seller could back out. Because the house of the buyer is not better than the kinyan of Meshicha, they're both types of kinyanim. And like we said, Meshicha itself will not acquire unless a price was set. So therefore says the Braisa, in these cases that we described, loy kana, there's no kinyan, ushnei mechayin lachzman, and therefore both of them could back out. Now in contrast, if let's say there was a price that was set, and that there was measured out, or the other way around, if it was measured out and the price was set, so then the house of the lekeach would acquire from and wouldn't even need Meshicha. So although that he didn't do Meshicha because he only drew the people, but then if it was measured down on the receptacles in his house, then he would acquire it. Now, however, continues the price of Pirkan v'chnis l'teich besa, but if let's say he unloads the produce and they put it into his house, so then, pasak achle madad, so then if they set a price, even if there was no medida, no meshicha, no measuring done, ein shnei mechayin lachzman, says the price, so they both cannot back out. Because although there's no medida, once the price is set, then his own domain acquires just like meshicha. Now, however, madad achle pasak, if let's say it was measured out, but a price wasn't set, shnei mechayin lachzman, both of them can back out, because like we said, as long as the price is not set, although there's a medida, there's a measuring that's done, which is it could be done like a meshicha, or it's in his own domain, it's still not going to acquire until there's a set price. So obviously you see like Abaya, that even doing a kinyan like meshicha without setting a price, not only like in our Mishnah regarding Yayin Nesach, but in general, is not going to acquire, and therefore we see like Abaya, not like Rav Yosef, and although that he promised and he made a kinyan with the first one, the kinyan with the second one is valid because the first one didn't have a set price. Similar type of a discussion, says the Gemara, who gaver dam lelechavri? There was a certain person who told his friend, "Imizamnina lo laha ara. If I'm going to sell this piece of land, mizamnina lach b'meyaz zuz. I'm going to sell it to you for 100 zuz." Azal zavne lein neshachrina b'meyav estrin. Then he went and sold it to someone else for 120. So Amrav Kahn, he says, "Kana kama." When the first guy acquired it, because here he set a price and he made a kinyan, unlike the previous case. On that mask of Rav Yaakov ben Harpakai, he says, "Wait." Hi, Zuzi Ansuhu. Here, this person that he sold it to the second one for 120, the $120 is what forced him to sell. And as long as this guy wasn't going to give so much money, he actually was not interested in selling. What he told the first guy was, if I'm going to want to sell, I'm going to sell it for this amount, and you're going to be the guy who's going to get it. But here he's not selling it because he wants to, he's selling it because he's being forced because of the amount of money that is being offered. And therefore, says Rav Yaakov from Nahar Pekoid, that's not considered what he had promised to the first guy. And says Gemara, Hilchas like Rav Yaakov and Nahar Pekoid, the halacha is like him. Although you set a price and he did a kinyan with the first one, that's only if he's going to want. If I'm going to sell, I'm going to sell for this price to you, but that's not the price and that's not his desire. It's the money that's forcing him, and therefore it goes to the second person. Now, related types of halachas, the Gemara says, if Amalei, if the seller tells to the buyer, Kedishayimi bitlasa, I'm going to sell you this item, how it's evaluated by three people. Now, since he used the terminology of shuma, of evaluation, he also said the number three people, which is how much a regular generic court is. So obviously it sounds like that he means to say that let a bezdin decide this question. So then, then even if two out of the three evaluated and the third one disagrees with those two, we're going to go based on the majority, the way we usually go to court, and those two will decide the price that he's going to sell it for. But let's say he says, Kide amri bitlasa, like three people say. That doesn't sound like a terminology of judges. Here it sounds like he wants to say that the three have to come up with the same amount, then adami bitlasa. Then has to be exactly how much three have to say that amount, and they have to agree upon that, and then he's going to sell for that price. Let's say he says, Kide shaymi ba'arba, how it's going to be evaluated by four people. So here, since he's already saying amounts of people, which is more than the generic amount of a bezin. Obviously, his intention is not to be just for regards to judges, and therefore we're not going to go based on the laws of majority like we go in a court of law. Rather, it's up until they all say this idea, where if let's say they disagree, so what does it help four or five? He obviously wants to have that four people will agree that this is the price, and therefore says the Gemara, the Ami Barba. Then it has to be that those four all agree on that price. And for sure, if he says the words, how four people say it, which even by three we said then it needs three, here by four for sure is going to require all four to say that same amount. Says the Gemara, let's say Amar Lehi tells him Kedishai mi betlasa, that however it's evaluated by three. Ba'asu tlasa b'shamu, and three people come along, they evaluate it, and they say, this is what we feel is the right price for this product. V'amale idach, but then the other party says, Leisi tlasa chrini de kimlu tfei, I want a different three people to evaluate, who they're better evaluators. So Amar Papa, he says, Dina hu de ma'akev. The law is that he could hold back and say that he wants other assessors to assess it. That masculine of Hunan Bered Rishu, he says, Mimai dehani kimlu tfei. How do we know that the second group of assessors are more proficient and more knowledgeable? Demahani kimlu tfei. Maybe the first group, they know better. And there's no reason for us to allow the second party to say that he doesn't want to go with the first assessors. And says the Gemara of Hilchasak Rav Hunan Bered Rishu, that yeah, he can't say that because there's no reason for us to assume, to believe that the second group of assessors know any better. And therefore, it goes according to the assessment of the first group of three. How much they said the price is, that's how much it's going to be sold for. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of these Mishnayis, of the halachas of Yayin Nesach. Says the Mishnah, Notel es ha-mashpich. Let's say a seller takes a funnel, which a funnel is has a wide mouth on the top, and has a narrow mouth on the bottom, which is that he put that funnel on top of the jug of the consumer, which the jug is a very narrow opening. And then, so you have to have a narrow bottom for the funnel, and you pour the wine in from the measurement into there, and it goes down there into the jug. So says the Mishnah, if someone takes the funnel, umadad l'teich tzleichuse shal evikachavim, and he goes and he measures in, he has a buyer today, he's a non-Jew, an idol worshiper, he pours the wine into the funnel, and it goes into the non-Jew's flask. V'chazer umadad l'teich tzleichuse shal yisrael, then he goes right after, and he measures into the jug of a Jew. Says the Mishnah as follows, Im yesh boy, if there is in the bottom of the funnel what's known as ikevis yayin, that there's a place over there where the droplets of wine on the bottom of the funnel get stuck over there, where there's like a somewhat of like a lip, then usr, then the wine in the Jew's jug is going to be forbidden. Why? Because some of the wine that he had measured from the funnel right before that into the jug of the non-Jew gets stuck on the bottom of the funnel, which is now going to drip through when he's pouring wine into the Jew's jug, which Moses is going to explain. Well, that ikevis yayin of the mashpich, that little droplets on the bottom of the funnel, why is that even usher? So good, so you pour it in, but it didn't touch the non-Jew's wine. But that's what the Gemara is going to explain. So since that wine, those droplets became usher, now it's going to go into the Jew's jug when he's pouring it afterwards. Continues the Mishnah, ma'ara mikli al kli. Someone's pouring wine from one vessel to another vessel, so esh'ir mimenu mutter. So the one that he's pouring from is going to remain permitted, which the Gemara is going to explain. What we're talking about over here is a non-Jew who's pouring the wine. And therefore, what the Mishnah needs to teach us is ve'esh'ir l'teiche aser, that the jug that he's pouring into, that wine's going to be forbidden because of kaychai, because it's the force of the non-Jew that's propelling the wine into that jug. But the wine in the jug that he's pouring from is going to remain permitted because kaychai is a rabbinic decree, it's not the halacha of Yayin Nesach, he's not touching it, and the rabbis did not make what's inside the jug still to be forbidden, only what comes out is going to be forbidden, which is the jug that's being poured into. Now, relating to the halacha of a Mishnah, the Gemara says, Snan Hasam, I learned within the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus. Mishnah says, Hanitzuk, which is the flow of a pipe that's coming from top to the bottom in a straight down flow, similar to like gutters from a roof, or Vahakatafras, which is water that's coming from top to bottom on a slope, like down a mountain, or umashke tefech, which is liquid that's moist, but not moist enough that if someone touched it, he would be able to make anything else moist. So if meaning if someone would touch it, it wouldn't be able to transfer anywhere else, so it's a very small, minute amount of moistness. These three types of categories, a flow, or water coming down an incline, a descent, or moist water that's barely moist, in a chibur. They're not considered attachments, loy l'tuma, not for the laws of tuma. In other words, if let's say that we have liquid that's detached, and something that's tuma touches the flow on the bottom, so the water on the top, it's going to remain tahar. It's not considered whatever's on the top connected. So too, if let's say you have this moist liquid, even on a flat ground, and you have liquid on a beverage on one side and liquid on the other side, and you have this mashke tefeach, which is this barely moist liquid in the middle, and something tummy touches that mashke tefeach, so the liquid on either side is going to remain tar, even though it's attached, but we don't consider it attached because it's not significant enough. not for the laws of tumah, so it's not going to transmit tumah to the liquids on the side of it. And beloy l'tahara, neither for purification. So if let's say there's a pit that doesn't have 40 sa' of water, but you have a flow or an incline or this barely moist water that connects this pit of water to a full mikvah that has the 40 sa', it's not going to be considered attached, and therefore whoever immersed himself in that pit is not going to have a valid tefillah. However, hashbayrin, but if let's say there's a crack in like a salty ground, which the ground tends to crack open, and then you have water that's still water that's gathered over there, so that's chibur l'tumah ul'tahara. That would be considered an attachment of water that's for tumah tahara, because it's not moving and it's full-fledged water that's just sitting over there. That would be considered a valid connection for the laws of tumah and for the laws of tahara. So that's what the Mishnah says. On that, as on Amar Rav Huna, he says, however, nitzuk u'ketafris, so mashka tefeach, which we said are generally not considered attachments for the things that it's attached to for tumah tahara, chibur l'inyan yayin nesach, are considered attachments for the laws of yayin nesach. So if someone's pouring from a kosher vessel to a vessel of yayin nesach, so then even what's in the upper vessel is going to become usur because of the nitzuk, because of the flow that's attaching the kosher wine in the top to the non-kosher wine that's in the bottom. So therefore, the laws of yayin nesach are more stringent. On that, Omli Rav Nachman Rav Huna, he says, Menalacha, where do you get this from? How do you know this? Ilei memetanan, if it's because you infer from the Mishnah within Taurus, which says, it says, Anitzuk v'kaf v'katafres v'mashka tefeach, these three types of categories. So the Mishnah said, Inechi b'loy l'tumah v'loy l'tara. They're not considered attachments, not for tumah, not for tara. Meaning, if tumah touches the bottom of the flow, it's not going to make what's on the top. And so too for tahara. So the inference you're going to make is l'tumah l'tahara hud l'havik chibur. Oh, for tumah tahara it's not considered attached. In yayin nesach havik chibur, but regarding yayin nesach, which is more severe, that you're going to say it is considered attached. And that says, but a meseifa, look at the end of the brisa, and at the end of the Mishnah, it says yishbayrin chibur l'tumah l'tahara. But if it's still waters, then it is considered attached for tumah tahara. So make the same inference there also. Oh, l'tumah l'tahara hud l'havik chibur. Only for those halacha is considered attached. In yayin nesach l'havik chibur, regarding yayin nesach, it's not considered attached. So those are contradictory inferences where it sounds like that even over there it's not considered attached. So El Mahal Lekel Mashmah rather says the Gemara, obviously you cannot learn it from there. That wouldn't be a source because those are contradictory inferences regarding the laws of Yayin Nesach. So it wouldn't be able to tell us that Yayin Nesach is more severe and that's considered attached even for the laws of Nisuch, even though it's not for Nitzuk, even though it's not that way for Tumah Tahara. So the Gemara tries to bring a different right. It's not. We learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nutlas HaMashpech, if the seller takes the funnel, U'madad l'tech tzlichusa shel evi kachavim, and then he pours and he measures into the flask of the non-Jew, V'chazer mad l'tech tzlichusa shel yisod, then he goes and measures with the same funnel into the jug of a Jew, so he's continuing to mitbeis, so the Mishnah said, Im yesh bo yikebes yayin aser, so if there's where a place in the bottom of the funnel where wine gets stuck, and the droplets sit over there, so then those are forbidden droplets that are there, that are then now being transferred to the Jew's flask, and therefore the wine in the Jew's flask is to be forbidden. Now, says the Gemara, ha'akeves yayin, this that the water gets stuck here on the bottom of the funnel, but my kamitzra, how did that wine even become forbidden in the first place, but the funnel didn't touch the yayin nesach when it came into the non-Jew's flask? It's pouring through the funnel into the flask. So it's not touching the yayin nesach of the non-Jew's flask. So how did those droplets on the bottom of the funnel become forbidden? Lav benitzuk? Isn't it because the wine in the funnel is attached to the wine that's in the bottom of the flask, not by actually touching it, but through the flow. When it's flowing through the funnel, that flow is contiguous, and therefore that's how it's attached. Shema menon, nitzik chibur. So obviously from there, from our Mishnah, as you learn, that a flow is considered attachment for the laws of Yayin Nesach, although it's not that way regarding the laws of Tumah Tahara. And that the Gemara rejects the Raya, Tani Reb Chiya, because Reb Chiya had taught in his Braisa, an explanation of this Mishnah, where he adds on that he explains, Shepchasasu tzlechisoy, that it's because that actually it backs up the wine and actually from the flask, and actually it's not the flow only, the wine of the flask of the non-Jew kept on rising because it's being filled up until it actually touched the funnel of the Jew. And actually, according to Reb Chiya's Braisa, the way you have to read the halacha of our Mishnah is that the seller takes the funnel, he measures into the flask of the non-Jew, and you have to add on the words, and upchasase tzlichusay, and then the flask of the non-Jew fills up, then therefore it actually touches the bottom of the funnel, then the Jew goes and he takes and he measures into a Jew's flask, That's what the Mishnah is saying. If it has something in the bottom of the funnel that holds, retains some of the droplets from the previous time of pouring, then it's going to be aser. Because since when he filled up his flask until it touched the bottom of the funnel, now it literally was attached to that, that the wine in the funnel was attached to the ayin esach. That's why it's going to be aser. So then the Gemara actually asks, since from the Braiser B'chia, in the explanation of the Mishnah, you're learning that it's shepchasasetz l'chasai. So says the Gemara, what it sounds like then is, avoloi pchasetz l'chusei ma'ai. So the mod bid alocha, let's say that the wine actually did not touch the bottom of the funnel. It would sound like that loy. Then the wine of the ikevis that gets stuck on the bottom of the funnel would not be forbidden to make the Jew's flask forbidden. So then we could actually resolve in the Mishnah the other way around, that the flow is not considered an attachment in the laws of Yayin Nesach, not like what was said before. Because you're saying it's only because Shabbat Chassas is L'chusay, but it sounds like due to the flow, would not make it Asr. And that says the Gemara Loi, no. Chassas is L'chusay Tishalach the Asr. All you could prove from the Mishnah is that if it backs up into the bottom of the funnel, then the next jug that he's going to fill up, that of a Jew, is going to be Asr. But that halacha is necessary to teach for itself, to say that you shouldn't think to say that maybe that's the same thing as a flow, and it should not become forbidden. Because although it's touching the funnel, but it's not in the actual flask of the non-Jew itself to say that it's considered part of that Yayin Nesach itself, but nitzik tibai. But you could still have the question regarding the halacha of a flow. You cannot infer that it's permitted, because the Mishnah just had to tell you that this is permitted, meaning that is forbidden when it's actually touching the bottom of the funnel, but not saying for sure that if there was a flow that would be permitted. That can still be asked as a question. But the Mishnah wanted to teach this chiddush of pchasas et sluchusa, that then it is going to be considered as connected to the ayin nesach. So therefore, it doesn't resolve it either way. So the Mishnah Tashma, come on, let's try to bring another proof from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah continued and says, Hama'ar mikli l'kli. If someone's pouring from one vessel to another, where the assumption of the Gemara right now is that we're talking about the Jews pouring, so the Mishnah said, Eshema'ar mimenu mutter. So the flask that he's pouring from is going to remain permitted. Ha'debeini beini asa, what sounds like is, but meaning it sounds like he's pouring from a kosher flask to a non-kosher one. So it sounds like, but what's between the two vessels, what's in the airspace, sounds like that's going to be aser. Shema minon nitzik chibur, so obviously because the flow is what's connecting, because it's not inside, which is similar to the chiddush we said before with the bottom of the funnel, where it's not really part of the Yayin Nesach, but it's touching. Here also, the wine that's in the airspace, it sounds like it's going to be aser. Only what's in the first vessel is going to be mutter, but in the airspace is going to be aser. Obviously it's because of the flow. Says the Gemara, but in nitzur chibur, but if that's the case that you're saying that the flow is what connects it, and therefore even the airspace is going to be aser, then afilo de gave de mananamilitzer, then even what's inside the original flask should also be aser, because the flow is not just in the air, it's also connecting to what's it's pouring from the first vessel. Rishon Gemara says, no, holikash, it's not a difficulty. We could say nitzuk is chibur, but the komiktiv ketufi, we're talking about that when the Jew is pouring, he interrupts the flow. Meaning, before the bottom of the flow hits the bottom of the non-Jew's vessel, he stops the pouring from the upper vessel. We now the first vessel was never attached to the second vessel, but the wine that's in between, that's connected through the flow. In other words, that would make it forbidden for someone to quickly grab a spoonful or a cupful from the ear and drink it, because that is considered attached to the bottom. So that we could say, as the Gemara says, Mikamakam Nitzachibur. So one thing we see is that there is a raya that a flow is considered attached in regards to the laws of Yayin Nesach. The Gemara says, no. Utamechem Esef, according to your reasoning, look at the end of the Mishnah. The next words of the Mishnah is, Eshe'iru L'toichu Huda Asar. That, okay, so the vessel that was poured into is going to be Asar. To hear the inference is hadabeni beni shari, but what's in between is going to be permitted. So Ella rather says the Gemara mahalak elamashmin. Obviously, like we said before, these are contradictory inferences. Where what's the halacha with the inners that with between the two vessels? That's not clear. So you can't prove nitzik chibur or not, because one is saying that what's inside the second one is aser, what's inside the first one is mutter. But what's the inferential of the middle one? That cannot be inferred. So the Mishnah says, Toshma, it's being arrived from the following brayse. The brayse says, Hama'ara mechavis labar. If someone's pouring from a barrel into a pit, where that's what all the wine is poured into. So kiluach hayorid misvas chavis lamata aser. So the flow that goes down from the edge of the barrel down into the bottom is going to be aser. So similarly, you see clearly that Nitzuk is Chibur, because even what before hits the airspace of the bar is going to be Asur. So that says Gemara, no right. Tergumer of Sheshes, he interprets that this halacha is talking about Be'ovit Pichavim Hama'ara, talking about a non-Jew who's pouring the Asim Yikaychai. It's coming from his force, that's why it's Asur. So yeah, even what's right out of the lip of the barrel is going to become Asur, not because of the flow attaching it to the Yayin Nesach in the bottom of the pit. That even could be kosher wine. It's because the non-Jew is forcing it out. That's why we consider that like Yayin Nesach. But if it's talking about a non-Jew who's pouring it, I feel like gavod chavita namimitzah, then even what's inside the barrel should be Asur, because his force is propelling that, even what's inside the barrel, even what didn't leave the barrel yet. And that says the Gemara, the force of a non-Jew is only rabbinically forbidden. What ends up coming out, the rabbis decreed upon. But what's inside, the rabbis did not decree on. And says Rashi, halacha is like Rav Sheshet, because no one disagrees with him. And therefore, if a non-Jew pours from a vessel, what remains in the vessel is going to be permitted. But what comes out immediately, that's going to be Asur, which is the same thing as for the halacha of our Mishnah, Hama'or Mekli Likli. Yeah, what comes out is going to be Asur, not because of Nitzik Chibur, but rather because of its Kaychai of the Akum, which the rabbis only made the Asur once it comes out of the vessel, not what's still inside the vessel. So the Gemara continues, telling us halachas related to this halachas that we describe. Amalahu Rav Chizda Lahanu Savisa. Rav Chizda said to those wine merchants, when you measure out wine to non-Jews, katfi kitufi. So stop the flow before the bottom of the flow hits the bottom of the non-Jew's vessel. Because if it's going to touch the bottom of the Jew's vessel at the time when the flow is still touching your vessel, so it's not going to help to pull back anymore, because right away then you have a nitzuk, which he holds is a chibur, which Rashi says that's the halacha. It's going to be considered attached, and therefore the wine inside your jug and your barrel is going to become usur, and then you can't, whatever you have is going to become prohibited. Or Inami said another approach you could do is nafsi nefutsi. You could stand very far away and you could throw the wine from your vessel into the vessel of the non-Jew so that there's no flow. It's going to go up and then gravity is going to take it down. So you throw it, it's not going to be considered attached, then you will not have the halachic problem about nitzuk chibur, making the wine inside your vessel, inside your barrel, forbidden. Another related halacha, amalu rava lahanu shafachai. Rava said to those workers who were Jewish, who they would pour the wine, this was their job, they would pour wine from one barrel to a jug to another barrel, that kishafchisu cham, when you pour wine, loylikrav oivei kochavim l'sayeh badaicha, don't let the non-Jewish workers get too close to help you. Why? Because dima mishtalisu, because maybe you might get weak. Vishadisu le'alayu, and you'll leave the vessel for a moment when you're pouring on it, and you're going to have it be carried by the non-Jew, and at that point in time, he's going to be the only one pouring it. V'ka'asi mikaychev aser, and it's going to be coming from his force, and then the wine in the bottom is going to become aser, like we said, what comes out from the force of a non-Jew is going to be aser. The Gemara tells us, Hahu gaver the asik chama. There was a person that was drawing out wine, begishtu uvaskishtu, with a tube and a secondary tube, which Rashi says this is what's known as diyufi, which diyufi is like two, these two pipes, as the Gemara brings in Ervin of Kodalim and Aleph, where they would cut two reeds at an angle, and they would attach their edges together on the top, and like a V, and they would both be facing downward, and they would put one edge in a full barrel until it reached to the bottom, and they would put the other end of the second reed, and he would put it in his mouth, and he would suck out a little bit until the wine started coming out, and then he would take it out of his mouth and put the other edge into an empty barrel opposite the flow, and the wine would continue siphoning off, coming out by itself from one barrel to another barrel. Now, Asayvi Kachavim, a non-Jew came along, Anach Yodei Agishta, he put his hand on the edge where the wine was flowing out from, on that tube, which would stop the flow of the wine coming out into the empty barrel. So Asrei Rava Lukuli Chamer, Rava made all the contents of the wine forbidden, even what was in the first barrel, in the first vessel. So Amalei Rav Papa the Rava, Rav Papa said to Rava, V'amrila, some say it was Rav Adbar Masnu said to Rava, V'amrila, some say it was Ravinu said to Rava, B'mai, why do you make forbidden all the wine in the first barrel? Because this guy's touching the edge of the reed of the tube, must be benitzuk because of the flow. Shema mimina, nitzuk kibur, obviously is because you're saying that the flow is considered an attachment, and therefore although this guy wasn't touching the wine in the first vessel, but the flow that's coming out from the first barrel is that same flow contiguous from through the tube that he's touching. And that's the Gemara no Shani Hasim. There it's different. The Kuli Chamra, Agishtu Ubas Gishtu Gar. All the wine is flowing by itself through the tubes. So it's like as if he's touching the contents of the barrel itself, because it's literally like one long barrel. Because it's all flowing through, straight from the barrel through that. It's not because of Nitzachibah, but it's rather like it's because like an appendage of the barrel itself. It's like he's touching the wine in the barrel, and that's why it's awesome. Similarly, Amamar Zutra Beridra of Nachman, he says, Kinish Kanan. This was a wide vessel, which they had, that's why it's called Kinish Kanan. Kanan are, they would have these reeds, these pipes, two or three pipes that were coming out from the side of this vessel, which would go upwards towards the height of this Kinish Kanan, of this vessel. And when they would pour wine into this Kinish Kanan, it would fill up, where not only would the contents of the vessel fill up, but the reeds, the pipes would fill up with wine too. And you could have many, many people drinking wine from the same vessel at the same time together. So on that says the Gemara, Shari, so it's permitted for a Jew and a non-Jew to drink wine together. Why? Because as long as they're sucking the wine, so the wine which becomes forbidden when it touches the mouth of the non-Jew doesn't come back down because they're sucking up. So it's going in, going in, going in. So they could both be drinking at the same time. But v'hanemili the kodem pasuk is so. That's only if the Jew stops drinking first. Av kodem pasuk ever kachavim loy. But if the non-Jew stops drinking first, that's problematic because he's sucking. If he stops, the wine goes right back down the pipe, goes into the wine, and the Jew is drinking from that. That wine already became yayin nesach. That would be problematic. They could drink at the same time as long as the Jew stops first. Rabbi Bar Avuna ikla beirish kedusa. So to Rabbi Avuna, he went to the house of Resh Kedusa. Sharlu lemishta bekinish kanan, and he permitted them to drink, Jews and non-Jews, from this kinish kanan. And actually, as a continuing type of a guy, Ein Gimel Med Aleph, Ikud Amr, those that say, Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Rav Huna, Gufe Ishtu B'Kiddush Kanan, he himself drank from this Kiddush Kanan. Again, as we said, because there's no problem, there's no Yayin Esach, because the wine only becomes forbidden when it reaches the lips of the non-Jew, and that never comes back down, as long as the Jew stops first. But again, if the non-Jew would stop first, then it would go back down, and then it would be Yayin Esach, and it would be forbidden for the Jew to drink from that wine.